Welcome to Facts Roundtable, a podcast dedicated to navigating life with food allergies across the lifespan, presented in a welcoming format with interviews and open discussions. Each episode will explore a specific topic, leaving you with the facts to know or use. Information presented via this podcast is educational and not intended to provide individual medical advice. Please consult with your personal board-certified allergist or healthcare providers for advice specific to your situation. Hi, everyone. I'm Caroline Mwasisi, and I am your host for the Fact Roundtable podcast. I am a food allergy parent, advocate, and the founder of the Grateful Foodie blog, and I am Fact's Vice President of Community Relations. Before we start today, I would like to say thank you to Blueprint Medicines for their kind sponsorship of Facts Roundtable podcast. Now that school is in full swing, we're discussing healthy snacks for each age and stage from preschool to college and the workplace when you have food allergies. We're sitting down with pediatric registered dietitian and board certified specialist in pediatric nutrition at Cincinnati Children's Hospital Medical Center, Allison Kasson, who's going to share her best tips for identifying nutritious snacks that are satisfying for all of the ages. Welcome, Allison, back to Facts Roundtable podcast. We're absolutely thrilled and happy to have you on the podcast. Every time you're here, we all get these wonderful, actionable tips. And I very selfishly have my pen ready because every time you talk, there is something new that I learn that I want to incorporate into my family. So I'm actually ready for my note-taking today.
Well, thank you. I hope I live up to that today.
Oh, you always do. So now, after your name, there is this long list of credentials. So can you please share your background with our listeners and help them understand your pretty amazing background?
Oh my gosh, of course. Thank you. First off, I'm a registered dietitian. That's the RD. Registered dietitian, the training involves an undergraduate degree in dietetics. I took a bit of a different path. My undergraduate was in zoology. So I worked in the lab for a while after my undergrad, but really liked nutrition. So I decided to go back to school and get a master's degree. That's the MS, the Master's of Science in Nutrition Science. And then from there, once I was practicing as a registered dietitian, I got my CSP, Certified Specialist in Pediatric Nutrition, because I mostly work with children with food allergies and eosinophilic GI disorders.
Well, that's a very diverse background, which is wonderful because that's what we're here to talk about today. So we know that each stage of development, brains and bodies have different needs. Can you explain, though, what is taking place and why our snacking should change at the different ages and stages of life?
That is a great question, and that's really the cornerstone of pediatric nutrition, how much nutritional needs change over a short amount of time for these kids. First, I'll say that little kids, just like teens, they have really high calorie needs. So, you know, pound for pound, little kids and teenagers, adolescents, they're going through rapid growth. When I say little kids, I mean the infants and the toddlers. So their high calorie needs really require that they have really nutrient dense meals and snacks at frequent intervals. Same with our adolescents. Now, while their needs are still high from an energy perspective, elementary school children tend to have more leveled out calorie needs. So even so, those kids who are student athletes, they might need increased calories as a result. The one thing I'll identify as a distinction between the different age groups is that our younger children are more likely to have milk and egg allergies. Those allergies are more common in younger children. So our snack choices might depend on their allergy restrictions, whereas the older kids are more likely to have nut or seed allergies. So our choices will depend on those factors as well.
Thank you so much. Because I know, you know, like little kids are constantly eating, but then I know as they get older, like the volume changes.
For sure. Yeah. And that's one thing. And I don't want to jump ahead here, but a lot of little kids tend to graze on their snacks. And sometimes we can see that interfere with their appetites for full meals later. So while snacking, which is our topic and one of my favorites, is really important for all life stages, we don't want to have these little kids or any kid snack too much because we don't want to interfere with their appetite for nutritious meals later on in the day.
Oh, I remember growing up and constantly hearing, now don't eat that. It's going to wreck your dinner. Don't eat that. It's going to wreck your lunch. I remember this.
Yes, everything that was old is new again, right?
I love it. Perfect statement. So then let's jump right into the exploration of these snack ideas by starting with those cute little ones. What suggestions do you have for toddlers and preschoolers?
So for the young children, classic snacks for that age group are often dissolvable solids, right? Think of the puffs or crackers or the Goldfish, which is a staple in a preschool diet. But many of these staples can contain allergens. Think of the milk that could be in that Goldfish cracker or maybe peanut butter that are in those Ritz little sandwiches. It's easy enough nowadays to find alternatives to these. There are dearth of brands on the allergen-free market, things like Made Good bars or Enjoy Life cookies and crackers. But there's also some standbys that are naturally allergen-free. Think like Cheerios. I always picture, you know, little toddlers in clinic with their snack cup of Cheerios or rice cakes. Those are things you can find at any grocery that are really great convenient snacks for little kids. But like I said before, my biggest emphasis on the little ones is to really prevent grazing, meaning they're just eating snacks all day long. But also with the little ones, we want to limit juice. Don't want them to have more than 4 ounces of fruit juice daily, because if they drink a lot of those nutrient poor beverages, that could fill them up and prevent them from eating more nutrient dense foods. Also in the little kids, we also want to prevent choking, because choking can be a hazard with certain textures of foods. So that's why things that are softer or maybe dissolvable solids that are easier to chew, especially when they're active, is important to consider.
And so now what are your thoughts on fruits and vegetables for the little ones? Like, this is going to sound really weird, but my son loved garbanzo beans.
Yes, yes.
And he just wanted to snack on garbanzo beans. And to the point, too, when he went trick-or-treating, the neighbors would give him cans of garbanzo beans.
Oh, my gosh.
He was. And inevitably, someone like in line behind him would be like, excuse us, was that like a can of beans?
Yes, I love beans. I talk about those with my parents of infants all the time. Beans are the perfect finger food for babies and for toddlers, right? They're cheap. You can rinse them right out of the can and throw them in a cup or on a plate. And they're a great finger food. They're soft. They're great for self-feeding. They have lots of fiber and some protein, and they're a great source of micronutrients. So I think beans are incredibly nutritious, very accessible snack for lots of little kids, and great for people of all ages to consume in greater amounts. Fruits and vegetables, of course. And now we have fruits and vegetables in so many different portable forms. I mean, what's a better portable snack than a banana or an apple, right? Or a clementine orange? Those things are already kind of pre-packaged in their own skin. So they're perfect for taking on the go and snacking on conveniently. Also, nowadays, you can buy vegetables in various forms that are great for snacking too. Baby carrots, which are, at least in my mind, kind of a new development. They weren't around when I was little, but baby carrots are fantastic to pack and carry, or even have at home for snacks, at least for older children for whom it's not a choking hazard. Snap peas are amazing, even canned or frozen peas that can be rinsed just in some warm water and they quickly defrost can be a great, just like the beans, a great finger food for snacking.
That's a fun idea. I never thought about the frozen peas. Mm-hmm. I mean, even cold on a hot day, that kind of sounds like that could have some value.
You know, my trick for frozen peas are to quickly cool off foods that I've overheated for my children. So if I have a soup or a chili that's a little too hot for them to eat, but I need the dish to cool quickly because my kids are hangry, I'll throw in some frozen peas or frozen corn, and it does just the trick.
Oh, that is so clever. Oh, great tip. So now let's talk about elementary school age kids. And again, what are some good nutritious and fun snacking ideas? Because now we're in a very physical time, right? Where they are very physical and physical for long amounts of time.
Right. And for this age group, I really like to think more about pairing complex carbohydrates with a source of protein. So a complex carbohydrate is a carbohydrate that breaks down a little more slowly in the body. It takes longer to digest. Therefore, it fuels these kids longer. It staves off their hunger a little longer than something that has higher sugar content or more simple carbohydrates, which they burn through more quickly. So the things that have more complex carbohydrates, kind of like the beans we were talking about, are things that are whole grain. An example might be an oat bar or even popcorn. Popcorn's a whole grain, and that's an amazing snack for these kids. Now, sometimes it's hard to get something that has complex carbs and protein in the same product. Those are hard to find in a single food. That's why I like to pair snacks together, right? So something that has some really good complex carbohydrate with something protein could be pairing some whole grain crackers with a mozzarella cheese stick, or pairing popcorn with maybe a bag of sunflower seeds. So you get the best of both worlds by putting two snacks together instead of just having one.
Oh, that's very clever. I never thought about that. And so a quick question on the popcorn. So sure. I noticed the other day in the grocery store, I mean, there's caramel corn and there's cheese and then Himalayan salt. I mean, do you have a recommendation of what type, like caramel corn? Okay, I know I'm going down the dark path on that one. But what about the cheese flavored or the other ones? Or is there a big difference?
I mean, if you like the caramel corn, go for it. I mean, all things are good in moderation, right? I don't demonize any food. What's interesting, check the label on some of those cheddar-flavored popcorns. Some of them are actually dairy-free. They're plant-based, they're vegan products, which is really interesting and really helpful for individuals who need to avoid milk products. So surprisingly, you might be able to consume more than you realize if you're avoiding milk or dairy. Right. I think they are all great choices. Popcorn's a whole grain. I think they're all good. Of course, there are versions that are going to have a little more fat and a little more sodium. But for kids need a little salt for growth, maybe even for electrolyte replacement if they're highly active in sports. So I'm not that worried about micromanaging kids with some of their packaged snacks if it's part of an overall balanced, healthy diet.
That's really good tips. My daughter will buy the big giant bags of the Skinny Pop at Costco. Mm-hmm. And I was always like, is this a good choice? Is this a bad choice? I'm not sure. So thank you. That's really great data.
Yeah. Skinny Pop's a great choice. Although the name Skinny Pop isn't my favorite from just like a general healthy view of food. You know, it's not my favorite to call something skinny or no guilt, you know, because we're trying to move away from wrapping up feelings or morality with food, right? But yes, it's great. Although it is a little criminal that they can charge so much for basically popcorn, right? But the convenience is what we all need in our busy lifestyles. And it's very useful and helpful for people on the go.
This is good to know. Thank you. Mm-hmm. So now moving on to our high school and college students who may be athletes or they've got the really long days and they're participating in band or theater and debate, you know, where they leave home early in the morning and they get home, you know, late at night. What type of snacking tips would you suggest for this older age group?
I feel like you could get this topic because you've lived it. But I'll give my two cents for now, right?
Yes, we need you.
One thing I will say that I recognize with this population is their calorie needs are really high. So getting food and nutrition in their bodies is important, you know, for all the activities and reasons you mentioned. But it's also tricky because we're talking about this in the context of food allergy, right? And we don't want these adolescents to have allergic reactions when they're on the road, when they're away from their families, and when they're also participating in vigorous exercise that can predispose them to having a reaction, right? So this is something I take really seriously, is helping these families strategize and find safe snacks when they're out in the world in this context. So again, I always go back to that pairing something with whole grain with something with protein. So depending on the person's allergy, we'll find something that's allergy safe. Seeds that are nut-free are a really good option. Because like I said, in this age group, a lot of times we're talking about nut allergies. So if they can have seeds, I really like to do some kind of packet of seed butter, or even just the seeds themselves, the sunflower seeds from a brand that's allergy safe. This brand called 88 Acres makes seed butters that are really good, and you can get them in portable packets. And that's amazing. Pairing that with maybe rice cake or whole grain crackers can be a good way to fuel them up. The other thing that I'm doing with more teens is giving them smoothie recipes. And giving them some agency over preparing and planning their own snacks. So if they can make a smoothie, let's say the night before their activity, put it in the freezer. So overnight it freezes. And in that smoothie, we use really nutrient-dense ingredients, like some kind of a liquid, maybe milk or a plant-based milk that's high in protein, like a soy milk or pea milk, depending on what their allergies are. And then maybe some type of fruit or vegetable, like a frozen fruit or frozen vegetable, like frozen spinach, if they don't mind the flavor. I think it blends pretty seamlessly. And then, you know, something else, like maybe a seed butter or some coconut oil to kind of beef up the smoothie a little bit. And then we add in fun stuff like flavorings or cocoa to round it out and make it taste good. That is a great way to get them some quick, fast nutrition that they can take with them on the go. So I mentioned this before. I have them make the smoothie at night, put it in the freezer, let it freeze in the portable container that they can then drink out of later. And then in the morning, take it out of the freezer, throw it in your bag. So then it has all day to thaw. And when you are on the road and going to practice, it is thawed just enough to still be a little frosty, a little icy, but drinkable so that you can enjoy that before your practice. The other nice thing about liquid nutrition, or a smoothie rather, is that it's a little easier to digest. So if you're going to have that before an intense activity, it moves through your stomach a little faster, so you're not too full or cramping, you know, when you go out on your run, you know, after consuming it.
That is such a great idea, to have it frozen and then just thawing as the day goes on. Oh, that's brilliant.
Yeah. Works really great for our working adults too, who might need a midday pick-me-up. And you can even put a little instant coffee powder in there. For those of who like to partake, it gives a really nice mocha flavor and might give you a little caffeine boost too, if needed.
Oh, I like that. Now, are there any websites that you might recommend to find these kind of recipes?
Yes. So Orgain is a company who makes plant-based protein powders. They have a really nice website with templates for a lot of different smoothies. I don't think you necessarily need to use their protein powders. You know, not a lot of us need the extra protein boost, but you could if you wanted to. If you don't use the protein powder that's already sweetened, I would just add a little sweetener or flavoring in it. Like a couple dates, dried dates are a really good addition to a smoothie if you have a high power blender to give it some extra sweetness and texture. Another thing I recommend adding to smoothies, if you don't use a protein powder, you could use collagen peptides. It's basically unflavored gelatin that's been rebranded as a beauty and health supplement. But in my mind, it's just a really nice, simple source of protein. Also, it doesn't taste like anything. You know, some of those protein powders have a lot of artificial sweeteners and the nutraceuticals that are added that add a little bit of an off flavor. But the collagen peptides, if you need a little extra protein, they blend really seamlessly into any smoothie. I've kids who I use them with who don't even notice that there's protein added.
That is yet another brilliant idea. This is fantastic. I tell you, the last time we spoke, got off the podcast and I went right online and ordered my daughter all sorts of things. She's an athlete. She's a golfer. Mm-hmm. And I'm proud to say she's getting ready to go to a tournament back east. And she had called last night and she's like, oh, I'm already heading to the store to pick up my stuff. And I was like, oh, finally, she's got it all on her own now.
Well, congratulations on so many levels.
Exactly, right? We want them to do this on their own.
Yeah.
And so speaking of the older one, you know, you mentioned adding the mocha for the adults. Any tips for adults? Because the first thing I want to do is slide into my desk something sweet. And I know that's really not in my best interest.
I don't know. I think food gives us so many things, right? It fuels us. We need nutrition, but also gives us a little joy. So sure. I think it's, you know, for adults, it's always important for us to be mindful, right? Like maybe ask ourselves the question, why am I snacking? You know, am I truly hungry? Am I bored? Am I anxious? Like, I'm a procrastinator snacker. That's my MO. I think for adults, you know, I don't like talking about that stuff with kids because kids have the natural ability to self-monitor and know their own bodies and know when they're hungry or when they're not. So snacking is important for little kids, but if they want to forego a meal or snack, we're assuming if they're growing well, then that's okay. For adults, you know, we have other influences that impact our choices for snacking. You know, some of us don't eat when we're stressed, but some of us eat more when we're stressed. So snacking for adults, mindfulness is important. And that's why I think some dark chocolate or something sweet at your desk is totally fine. I'm giving you permission. But, you know, for adults, the same principles apply. A fat, a whole grain, some protein will really help you feel fuller and carry you through to your next meal. The one thing I haven't discussed yet that I do think is important for all age groups is hydration. You know, I'm not saying if you're hungry, it doesn't always mean you're thirsty. You know, sometimes you are just hungry, but we often forget about hydration, especially in those teenagers, college age kids. They're sometimes drinking energy drinks or coffees that can be dehydrating. So making sure we replace those fluids with just water, you know, it doesn't have to be anything fancy, but drinking fluids frequently in adequate amounts is really important and should be paired with snacking.
That is a really good tip because we do overlook that completely. Mm-hmm. And to the adults, I think that smoothie idea is tremendous. I mean, because how nice, because even if you go to the office, you could keep a small supply in the office, you know, freezer. I mean, most offices have some form of refrigeration or freezer, or again, at home. I think that's a great idea. Yet again, we'll see what happens in the Moasisi household this week. And I think we're going to take advantage of that.
Great.
Well, our time has come to an end here. So before we sign off, is there anything else that you would like listeners to hear from you?
So the one plug I want to mention that I should have mentioned earlier when we're talking about types of snacks, there's a really great app that's on the market now. It's called the Fig app. It's a great smartphone app that you can download on any device and you can plug in your allergies. And from there, it will filter out different foods that are safe for you to consume. And it's really nuanced. You know, you can get down to a really fine-tuned level of your diet restrictions, really for anybody. So it also filters out different products by retailer. So if you know you're going to Target or you know you're going to Kroger or Walmart, you can figure out what that store carries that might be right for you or for your child. So I found that to be immensely helpful in a lot of families who are really stuck in feeling uninspired with packaged foods.
Well, thank you for sharing that tip. And then just as a reminder to listeners, you know, whenever you're using any kind of app, always just call the manufacturer and double check. I mean, sometimes, you know, there's a delay in time from the recipe change to when you're using it, but it's a great way to just get a general idea, right, of what's out there.
Yes. Thank you for always giving that disclaimer. I say that no app is as good as the human brain, but really, you know, it's a great place to start, right? So it can help filter out some of the noise that's in the grocery store that can be overwhelming.
Wonderful idea. Well, thank you again for your time today. We know you're busy, so we always appreciate your time with us. We do look forward to having you back on the podcast again. And I will be thinking good thoughts of you this week as I start making my smoothies and doing a few other things. So thank you so much again.
Of course. Thank you. Bon appetit.
Before we say goodbye today, I just want to take a moment to thank Blueprint Medicines just one more time for their kind sponsorship of Facts Roundtable Podcast. Thank you for listening to Facts Roundtable Podcast. Stay tuned for future episodes coming soon. Please subscribe, leave a review, and listen to our podcast on Pandora, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and Stitcher. Have a great day and always be kind to one another.